I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to MLS Box to Box on Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Yes, it is Box to Box, courtesy of Footy Prime here. The usual suspects, Dubs is here, and Jimmy's here, and Wong is here, Craig, I'm Shams, JC's somewhere lurking around in the background, talking all things MLS today with a very special guest. We're excited about this one. We had Kaylin Kyle on about 2 or 3 weeks back, and she recommended we bring on our guest today. So there's no pressure at all, but listen, he's an absolute MLS legend. Bossing midfields in MLS for around 13 seasons. He won trophies in Europe with Belgium with Anderlecht. And now, after retiring just about a year and a half ago, he's an analyst on MLS 360, the live weekly whip around show on MLS Season Pass. It is Sasha Kleshton. Sasha, welcome to Footy Prime.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be on. Kaylin, thank you for the compliment, but you know, for you guys get the better analyst from MLS 360 now.
Ooh, yes.
Bob's just kidding. I love Kaylin. Come on.
Shit, she's talk Canadian. Already.
Super nice. But yes, I'm here, guys. How's it going?
It's going good. Great, thanks.
So you have a better mustache than Kaylin.
I do. Mine's a little bit nicer.
Nice.
Okay, how usual is it? Like, how soon in most interviews does a mustache come up?
I mean, especially in every interview, of course, it comes up. Some people wait a little bit till the end. Some people throw it out in the first question, but it's inevitable for some reason. It's perhaps more famous than I am these days. But yeah, brings me some power, I think.
Do you comb it?
Well, I have a question. Oh, sorry, Jim.
I don't comb it. I give it a little trim with the little mini scissors every Friday before I fly to New York, make it look real nice for TV now.
It does look great, and I have a Montreal bias. I cover CF Montreal, and they have two great mustaches on their roster in Joaquin Sosa and Matias Kokoro. Kokoro, since injured, has shaved it, I've heard, which I was crushed about.
It needs to come back. Kokoro looks good with that mustache.
It does. So I wanted to ask you, like, back to your playing days, but now, well, also your playing days have continued, and I'm sure we'll get to that as well. But is it part of your mojo as a player?
Yeah, you know, the way it started was when I was playing at Anderlecht, we won like 3 games in a week. You know, we played like a Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, something like that. We won all 3. And so then I said, okay, I'm not going to shave until we lose or draw a game. We went, I think, 13 games straight winning, which is absurd, right? That rarely happens. And part of it also was that there was a little Christmas break in there. So then I went home and then I came back and I don't know. And then after that, I just liked it. And so it always just stayed after that. About 2 years ago, I shaved it all off, shaved clean one day, and my kids were like, whoa, do not do that again. You look bad. And I was like, okay.
You look bad.
Yeah, they were not happy at all. So it stays now.
That's like Charms without your beard.
No, I was going to say, I got a bit of you know, scruff here, and I shaved it off once about a month ago, and they mocked me mercy. They hate my face. They say, your face is fucking horrible. Please cover it up.
Well, I think it was more subtle. I said I didn't so much like the contours of your face, but
well, okay.
Basically saying the same thing.
This is my first time meeting you, but you have a great face for radio, man.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute.
It's tremendous for podcasting.
Hey, listen, a bit of trivia for you. Name the Canadian international who starred at Anderlecht for a number of years.
Tomáš Radzinský.
Oh, there you go.
Come on. The guy was a legend there.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think he still lives in Belgium, too.
Does he really, eh? He's one of Jimmy and Craig's former teammates, too, with Canada.
Yeah.
Of course. Great player in his day. All right, let's get to your comeback, so to speak. You just retired back in 2022, right? It's quite fresh.
Yeah.
But you were kind of procured from a gym, I believe.
Yeah.
To play for the Des Moines Menace in the U.S. Open Cup. Not once, but twice. Okay, Sasha, explain how this happened.
Yeah, just a quick story. Sorry, I'm all sweaty right now. I just came back from that gym. it's right down the street from my house, a place I started working out at as soon as I retired. The guy who owns the gym is from Iowa, was a college soccer player. And one weekend, a bunch of his friends from Iowa, guys that he knew, you know, they came and worked out at the studio. They were here on vacation. And at the end, the guy was like, hey, I'm the GM of the Des Moines Menace. You should play in the Open Cup for us this year. It would be a great story. And I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to go to Iowa, dude. But anyway, 3 months later, the draw for the Open Cup comes out. Their first round game is 20 minutes from my house here in Southern California. So I thought, whatever, dude, let's do it. I'm going to try to recruit some buddies to play with me and let's see if I still got it. And I think it'll be fun to play in a game that had some consequence, you know, that meant something. So yeah. It was fun. We won that first game after 120 minutes. It took me 6 days to recover because I hadn't really played soccer in a very long time. But it was a lot of fun. So I figured if I started this thing, I got to finish it. So we went to the second round. Unfortunately, we lost to Union Omaha, who's actually a very good USL League One team. You know, they kicked our butts. We were all too old and slow at this point. But it was fun, and I had a good time.
And how was that match fitness? It must have took you a while to get that second win, by the way.
Yeah, it did. But towards the end of my career anyway, I'm not a sprinter. So I was like Pirlo out there in his last couple of years nonetheless. He never really changed pace, but he could still hit a few good passes. And so that was mostly what I tried to do. And it was all right. It was fun.
Well, speaking about the U.S. Open Cup, I mean, it is such a special tournament, I think, for players and people that have played in it. And there's a lot of talk recently, obviously, about MLS teams and their involvement in it. What's your thoughts on that?
I love the Open Cup. I loved playing in it when I was a professional. We got to the final in 2017 when I was on New York and we lost to Kansas City. But it's a special tournament because I really love the history of the tournament. The fact that it's the oldest tournament in American sports. It's a shame, I think, that we don't have the coverage of the Open Cup that I think it deserves. And I'm hoping that we'll find a way that, you know, more MLS teams are involved again next year and that the tournament is bigger because I really like the tournament.
Yeah, there's so much potential. And those cup knockout tournaments, that they grow through the years. It's an old tournament. I know that. I get that. But you need the eyeballs on it. Yeah. Is there room for that and the League's Cup, do you honestly think, though, for these MLS teams to put their full squads in?
Well, I hope so. But I also know that just playing in MLS is the challenge because the country is so big. Mm-hmm. When I played at Anderlecht, I think I had one season where I played 59 games. And none of us were complaining because, well, first of all, the travel isn't too long, but also I'd rather be playing a game every 3-4 days than to be training all week, right? So I understand that fixture congestion is a big topic these days amongst all teams in the world and all players. You know, we see guys that play on the biggest clubs that go to Champions League finals and then play in the World Cup or the Euros or whatever in the summer. Some of these guys are pushing 70 games on a season. I'd rather watch more soccer and I'd rather play more soccer than to be practicing all the time. So I hope we can find a way. Maybe the solution is just bigger rosters inside the league. And that would be great, I think, for everybody.
Yeah, that's a good point. You talk about too much football and yeah, there probably is. But if you look at this potential FIFA Club World Cup, for example, which your bosses at Apple are rumored to be highly involved in, which is kind of exciting. The concept's incredible, isn't it? But how do you get these? How do you squeeze these games in addition to everything else, and maintain the players? Is it purely bigger squads? Is that the solution here?
Yeah, I mean, yes, but we also don't want to lose the quality of the squads, right? When we see all these teams come to the U.S. for this massive World Cup style Club World Cup next summer, we also want to see all the best players playing, right? We don't want to see all the young kids playing. We want to see the superstars playing in our backyard. So, yeah, I understand the fixture congestion. I do think that we've got to find some solution. I don't know if it's shortening the season so that these players are getting a better off season, because let's be honest, the guys at the top level are getting 3 weeks off of the year, maybe 4 weeks, and that's probably not enough. They're going to get burnt out at some point.
The games evolve so much though in North America. I mean, even through your career as well, you went away to Belgium, of course, you came back. Looking at the sport now and MLS as it is compared to when you first started playing the game, we can talk about the TV deals and how there's more eyeballs and I get all that. But from a footballing standpoint, how far has the game grown and where is it, do you think, in the world rankings at this point?
World rankings, I'm not sure. Probably somewhere between 10 and 15 in the world. Which I think is great. I think the quality on the field has gotten better when we've introduced TAM into Major League Soccer, the ability and the U22 initiative to bring younger players, to pay them more, to get these players that are, whatever, 18, 19, 21, 22 to come here first before they go to Europe instead of going straight to Europe, I think has been really good and raised the level of the league. I mean, I remember when I started, there were 12 teams. I'm pretty sure I played against Jim in the very first game for Toronto FC. It was at Chivas, and they were, I think, the 13th team in the league, which is wild. Next season, we'll have 30. It's almost hard to comprehend also, like the soccer stadiums as well. Back then, it was only Columbus, and then Toronto came in, and then the Galaxy. There were like three soccer-specific stadiums. Now nearly every team in the league has one, you know, minus a couple that share. So yeah, it's hard to even put into words for me. Like I'm a proud MLS fan, and so it's just been awesome to see the growth.
Do you think
it really is quite something, isn't it? Sorry, ahead, Amy.
Thanks, Forrest. Sorry about that. I was just going to say, do you think that the plans for the Cube in New York, and then this to add to the infrastructure that's already quite impressive, do you think that that's helped to shift the perception of MLS? Because we talked about the rankings and what soccer heads or footballing heads think of the league. But I think what pundits, fans, players like throughout the globe think of the game in North America has shifted as well towards the positive, don't you think?
Yeah, 100%. It's shifting and it continues to shift. You spoke about New York City Stadium. I think once that's finally built, it will probably be the premier stadium in America. And of course, having a stadium in New York City, I think, is the dream for everybody. I was a Red Bulls player, but I cannot wait to see that stadium. I can't wait to be at a game at that stadium and see what it's like, because I think it'll be fantastic. And we've seen that across the league. I haven't been to Cincinnati's new stadium yet. I've heard that's amazing. I've gone to a few of the other new ones, Austin, Nashville, Columbus. Those are awesome. The infrastructure in MLS is, I think, our biggest selling point. You know, I was recently talking to a player who had played in MLS for a while, went back to Europe, and within 5 days of being back in Europe was like, man, what did I do leaving MLS? Because the infrastructure of the club, every club now has a beautiful training ground. They've got a pretty nice stadium. You get paid on time every 2 weeks, no matter what. You know where your money is coming in. You can't say that unless you're at a top five club in any league in Europe. If you're not at one of the top five clubs in the league, you probably don't have that infrastructure, which I think is our biggest selling point for Major League Soccer.
You're going to have 30 points.
And as well as I remember all of us guys that were talking to European players when we were playing over there, they all talked about MLS and they all wanted to be part of that. And you know, how did you get over there? And, you know, I remember Frank Yallop made the move to Tampa Bay Mutiny from Ipswich, and it was a big deal. And certainly the players want to come over and be part of it. And the, like you say, the infrastructure and the stadiums are just absolutely top drawer now.
Definitely. I still have a lot of friends from Anderlecht, a lot of the younger guys, because all my generation are old and retired now. But some of the young guys I played with who are now in their prime or getting to 30 to 32 years old, they always are sending me messages on WhatsApp asking about MLS. Can I connect them with teams? You know, living in the United States and Canada also is just, you know, big picture, a lot of people want to come over here and live here for the quality of life and for the opportunities that arise even in the post-playing career.
Yeah. San Diego's coming in next. So there's going to be 30 teams in the league. Do you think that's too many? And will they have further expansion?
I don't know if there will be further expansion. We'd have to ask Don Garber and get his answer. So I don't know, but 30 is a lot, but I don't really see the quality of the league dropping that much when I've seen some of these new teams come in. You know, they give expansion teams more resources than, you know, for the salary budget and the salary cap and stuff like that for their first couple of years in the league. So we've seen a lot of expansion teams come in and do really well. Cincinnati did poor when they came in. I don't think they managed it well, but Nashville has done well. Miami did pretty well in their first couple of years. LAFC has been the golden child of expansion, of how good they have been since they've come in. So I think if you hire the right people, you build the right infrastructure, you sign the right players early on, I think all these expansion teams can compete. I mean, look at St. Louis last year. Unbelievable. Like they built an identity, and the thing that they did really well was getting a lot of players to come in about 6 months before and get settled in St. Louis before the season actually started. So if San Diego, I think, follows their game plan, we'll see some quality out of that team as well. We won't see the level of the league dropping because we've added so many teams.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Given the World Cup's in a couple of years' time, you know, on home soil, and what that can do for the momentum of the sport on this continent. I'm sure you remember 94. You're obviously a kid. Yep. And what that did for you. Yep. As a football fan, and how much bigger can the game grow over here with a World Cup on home soil?
Yeah, I didn't watch the 1990 World Cup, or if I did, I don't remember it. And then so 94, I was 9 years old. My son will be 9 years old in 2026. And USA has two games here in LA. I hope that he's able to be at both of them. I hope he, along with so many other kids, catches on to what world soccer is. Like, I had no idea about national teams before the 94 World Cup. And then after that, I was like, look how many foreigners from around the world have come to our country to watch what is basically the biggest sporting event in the world. And so I'm excited that we have it in our backyard, USA, Canada, Mexico. All the next generation will see this and hopefully be inspired. And then it grows. Look, MLS grew out of the 94 World Cup. I think that we've got to continue to grow MLS after the 2026 World Cup as well.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
How's the transition been from player to broadcast for all of our players here who played formerly? You know, that transition's real. How is realizing, hey, I'm not at that level anymore, and I'm now moving into another obviously challenging being a broadcaster, but like, what was that? Hey, I'm no longer going to be a football player. What's that like?
So I took some time about 6 months before I retired to start talking to like a sports therapist about the end.
Do you
of
have
my-
his name for our 300 partners?
Share it, please.
We know,
please.
Especially these two. Where are they?
That one is not wrong.
All of them.
All over. And just processing that, like, my career was going to end, like, eventually it was inevitable. And just getting to that point.
Like
that
your mustache.
Yeah. That helped me a lot. And then I also think I'm fortunate that even before I decided to retire, Apple and MLS were offering me a job to do what I do now, which I think I'm pretty lucky because I know and had a lot of friends who retired and didn't know exactly what they wanted to do or what they were going to do. And that transition was really hard for them. So I think the fact that I prepared myself mentally, but then also was fortunate enough to like have a job offer in doing something that I really like that keeps me involved in MLS. So I feel lucky. I think my transition has gone really well. I still have tried to find ways to like keep that competition. You know, the Open Cup was one, but I also play in a basketball league on Wednesday nights here in Southern California. And then on Saturday mornings, I play in a 6v6 soccer league in New York City with a couple of ex-pros as
what,
well.
Are you flying in to work and then playing in a 6v6?
I fly Friday afternoons.
Oh, that's awesome.
I get into New York Friday night, and then Saturday morning we play. We go to the pub after. We watch Premier League for a couple of hours, and then I head up to the studio and I watch more soccer all Saturday night and get to talk about soccer. So I'm living the dream, dude. Let's be honest.
That's a good weekend. I like that Saturday.
When Apple made that offer to you and you were in the twilight of your career, was that kind of a light bulb moment for you thinking, oh, this never occurred to me. Like, this is what I want to do. Did you have something else in mind?
I was 99% sure for probably the last 10 years that I would become a coach. And I went and got my coaching licenses during my last couple of years of playing. And then Fox asked me to work at the 2022 World Cup. And so my season had just ended and I was sure I was going to play again in 2023. So I started having conversations with the club about playing again. Mm. And then while I was in Qatar, I met with friends that were coaches. I met with everybody I worked with on TV, just asked a lot of questions. And I basically came to the point where I saw that coaches are 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and then they go home and then they work some more. And I know myself, if I'm going to coach, I'm going to be all in. I'm going to be the best coach that I possibly could be. But I also saw like, okay, if I get this job, I get to spend a lot more time with my family that I haven't had in whatever the past 10 years. I get to take my kids to practice every single day. I get to walk them to school every single morning, spend more time with my wife every single day, which I thought was invaluable. And so I made that switch after I got back from Qatar. I sat down with my wife and figured out that I was going to retire and I was going to take the job. So it really kind of came together pretty quick. And then all last season, I had like a media coach who was coaching me on, you know, just different bits about being good on TV and all this kind of stuff. So like I said, whatever I do, I want to be the best at it. So I've really enjoyed this new challenge because I was like a rookie again. I was like learning everything on the fly, trying to be the best I can be. And I feel like I'm still working at it and I'm enjoying it.
I just want to say for my crew.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Vaughn.
Sorry. I was just going to say to Jimmy, Craig and Amy, a therapist and a media coach, guys, might have a future.
I know. That maybe you can send some of those resources our way.
Yeah.
Craig?
Oh, I was going to say, you know, being on TV, I did find that was interesting and a little bit different from playing, obviously, but it's unpredictable a little bit. You don't ever know what's going to happen, as well as what looks on camera and what looks good and real are two completely different things. Don't you find that it's a very interesting business?
There it is. There's a lot of things that I've learned, but also when people are watching, they only see me on TV. They don't see the 30 people behind the scenes that are working their butts off.
They're not important.
But also, then I also learn if somebody behind the scenes makes a mistake, I'm the one who gets it because they only see me on TV. Like if there's something, you know, so we're all, it's still a team. You're still on a team. You know what I'm saying? So that part that I like that I work with I like the people I work with. I like that we all have the common goal of like trying to make MLS look like it's the best league in the world. And then I also get to analyze and watch the game because I'm at home every Saturday anyway. If I didn't have this job or when I was playing, I would watch every game throughout the league and I'd be like, okay, analyzing what's happening. How can I exploit that guy when I play against him or whatever? So I'm trying my best to try to put that out there when I'm on TV as well. Like, you know, as you know, try to show your expertise and also help the fans understand the game somehow at a deeper level.
What I love most about it, sorry, Sharms, I was just going to say that when I played, and I'm aging myself here, but I retired in 2010 when I had my oldest. And then going through those early years, because then I had twins 4 years later, being in this business now, selfishly, I get to watch the most football I've ever watched in my life. And that's the part that I love about it. And I can sometimes tell my kids to fuck off because I've got to watch a game, you know, but like they're still around, you know, like I can be at home and be doing both, which is great.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, both my kids play as well. And so they love the league and they've got their favorite players and all that. So it's been fun to connect with them that I come home on Sunday at noon and they're always mentioning like the best goals of the weekend and how they were watching the show and stuff. So it's been awesome that we connect that way as well. I'm lucky that both of them love soccer as well.
Being a public face, be it as a player or as a broadcaster, you are going to be exposed to the critics. We all are, right? They're always out there on social media, wherever you find them. Did you find it easier to deal with them as a footballer or as a broadcaster?
To be honest, I feel like it's the same. I feel like I was pretty polarizing as a player. I think because I was a bit awkward and tall and skinny and I didn't move great, but I could still put a few plays together. So some people were like, how is this guy good? Like he sucks. Like look at him with a stupid mustache. Or others were like, you know, oh, he's got really great technique and whatever. So some people love me, some people hate me. Now that I'm on TV, I think it's the exact same. They're like, oh, that guy's got a face that I just want to punch, you know, but like all the best people on TV, you either love them or you hate them, right? There's not many people that we all are like, oh, that guy's great. We all love him. And so I think it goes really well both ways. I don't really pay attention to social media that much. I use it to whatever, try to grow the brand and try to, you know, whatever. I've got to try to be popular if I'm going to be on TV. So, but I don't read the comments because I don't really care what these people have to say. I think being part of the conversation is good, whether it's good or bad.
That's great. The one of our normal questions when we're playing Get to Know Me on Footy Prime is, who would you like to punch? So what player did you want to punch in the face? Because we all have one of those.
If it's not Jimmy Brennan.
I love how you qualified that as a normal question.
For our show.
You know what? I'll give this answer because I've noticed this with a lot of players, and I think a lot of people said this about me as well. Even my wife, she would watch me play and she would be like, you are a different person on the field than the moment you step off it and you're back with me. Like you're crazy out there sometimes. So Kyle Beckerman, absolutely hated playing against him. He just got under my skin. He talked a lot of shit. He was a great shit talker. And I was just like, I just want to punch this guy one time. But then you get off the field, and I've been on the national team with him for a decade, was the nicest guy ever. So chill, you know, with the Rasta dreads, everything's great, everything's easy. You get on the field, ultimate competitor, always wanted to fight him.
Good answer.
Yeah. Who almost finished here, Sasha. Who was the best player you played with?
The best player I played with, I don't know if any of you guys will ever have heard of him. His name was Mbarak Boussoufa. He was a Moroccan player from played at Anderlecht. Before Anderlecht, when he was younger, he was at Chelsea and Ajax. Then he came to Anderlecht. He was Belgian Player of the Year twice. Then we sold him to a team in Russia. If you remember those like 2 years, there was a team called Anji Mahachkala that had Roberto Carlos and Samuel Eto'o and all these guys. He went there for the big money. but he was 5'4", 130 pounds, right foot, left foot, the same, could do anything with the ball, could get goals, could get assists. If you're bored and you're listening to this, anybody, Mbarek Boussoufa, go on YouTube and watch him. He was unbelievable. Another one was a guy named Matias Suarez, Argentine striker from Anderlecht. After Anderlecht, he went back to Argentina and played for River Plate, and he probably had 15 or 20 caps for the Argentina national team. Could dribble by anybody, could score in different ways with the right foot and the left foot also. I feel very lucky in my days at Anderlecht that I played with a lot of very good players.
We only wanted one.
I could go all day.
Well, we're out of time, unfortunately. Session, this has been great, by the way. I really enjoyed it a lot. Great, great names you mentioned there. We really enjoy coverage now as well. Bradley, Andrew, Kalen, you got a good stall of talent there at Apple as well. So thanks so much for this. You're welcome back anytime.
Anytime, guys. Thank you. I appreciate y'all.
Thanks,
Sasha. Have a great day.
Thanks, Sasha.
That's Sasha Kleshton. We're out of time, everyone. This has been Box to Box. Make sure you check out wearefootyprime.com. And we've got a ton of MLS pods available to you right now. TFC, Vancouver, and Montreal, three questions, as well as, of course, actually, no broadcast this week, right, Dubs?
It's Saturday.
No, recording tomorrow, Saturday. Yeah. Dropping Saturday.
Right, but right now,
I always forget about the broads.
Okay. I just mentioned it, for Christ's sake. Right, yeah. Jesus Christ. Anyway, they're available to you right now on where you find you. Yep. Podcast. Make sure you like, subscribe, and please comment. We want comments on both YouTube and the podcasts, and we'll get Wonga's mail sack open and available to all as soon as possible. So until the next podcast, cheers for listening. Thanks, Sasha. Question.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Monroe's rhino skin.
Oh, God.
That was great.
Yeah, it was really good.
Really good.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.